As we come on air, we have serious news of a major possible air crash in the United States. A plane appears to have crashed into one of New York's tallest buildings, the World Trade Center, one of the most heavily populated office buildings in New York.
September 11th, 2001, a day that changed history. Four planes went silent and off course. Two of those planes crashed into the World Trade Center Twin Towers. Several columns were severed, and the jet fuel ignited fires that spread over several floors. About an hour later, millions watched in shock as both towers were suddenly and rapidly destroyed, killing almost 3,000 people.
18 years later, it is still the official version of the story, not only in the United States, but this is what is told by every government on Earth, with donations still collected. Luckily, a lot of independent investigators have done their research, and we are especially grateful to the septemberclues.info. They've showed that the official story of 9/11 matches with neither common sense nor numerous evidences. Because the lies still prevail, we feel there's still a need for more people to know the complete and true story. That's why we want to reiterate the most obvious observations. In this video, we'll explain the meaning of this event and what you can do about it. Overwhelming evidences show that what has actually happened that day was just a planned, controlled demolition of expired steel and asbestos buildings that needed to be removed. With all the precautions taken, the buildings were emptied well in advance. In fact, it took them several years to clear the remaining tenants. All the facts are showing that nobody died, nobody got hurt.
We know what happened, and we know that the official story is a fabrication. What we really need to do is to focus on the elements of the events of 9/11 that have been the most strongly analyzed and established so that we know what happened, and we know that the official story is a fabrication. The official story was that because of the jet fuel, it was so hot that it melted the steel and so forth. Well, that didn't stand up very long. It was very quickly shown that kerosene, which is essentially, jet fuel is essentially kerosene, this kerosene couldn't possibly get to a temperature where you would melt steel.
I'm not aware of any high-rise building that have come down as a result of fires.
The heat from the fire supposedly softened the steel and thereby brought the buildings down. If you have a flame at 750 degrees, you can hold that flame under a steel beam forever and you'll never reach a high enough temperature to bend steel, let alone melt it. So immediately I knew at that point that the official explanation was dead wrong.
We know that open-air fires cannot burn hot enough to melt steel.
Even if a floor were to collapse, it still wouldn't be able to collapse all of the connections simultaneously at the rate that it did without secondary explosions.
There's a great deal of question about whether or not the damage and the ultimate destruction of the buildings was caused by the airplanes, by architectural defect.
Well, it was an architectural defect. You know, the World Trade Center was always known as a very, very strong.
The clearest image of United Flight 175 going into the South Tower was allegedly shot by amateur Michael Hezarkhani and obtained by CNN. The plane appears to pass through steel columns and the steel and concrete floors like a ghost. It doesn't twist, bend, slow down, break, or explode. We never see any damage occur to the airplane.
How is that possible when this plane damage on the picture was caused by bird?
You know, Donald, we were looking at pictures all morning long of that plane coming into building number two. And when you see that approach the far side, and then all of a sudden pops out the other side.
Right. I said, how could it possibly go through the steel?
Could the building fall like it's shown by the mainstream media, sliding down to nowhere with zero resistance?
Taking your car keys out and just dropping them. That's how fast the building came down.
for over 100 feet. And the only way you can get that is when there is zero resistance.
It fell within 7 seconds approximately from top to bottom.
When I saw Building 7 come down, to me, it looks like a perfect controlled demolition of an intact building.
That's what we learned from the engineers for 9/11. They certainly proved that the buildings were definitely brought down by explosives. The problem with these engineers is that they lead to a fake conspiracy theory, influencing that it was an inside job of the government conspired to murder its own people. Here's to understand their role.
I've identified 3 stages of death hoaxes. The first stage is the official story. It's kind of comes suddenly. It's like this mass media bombardment of information of some kind of tragic death, surrounded by mystery and intrigue, right? Oftentimes with some kind of accident, maybe an assassination. There's many different types. And many people continue to believe the official story. But those with a bit more inquisitive nature dig into things a bit, and they see that things don't quite add up, and they move on to the second stage. Maybe some of you are like this. I know I am. I move to the second stage, conspiracy theories, because the official story just doesn't make sense. But a lot of people just don't even think, right? They have a brain, but they don't use it. Conspiracy theories usually involve some kind of murder and cover-up. Many of us get stuck at stage 2, and we think we got it all figured out, myself included. Until recently, I was usually a second stage conspiracy theorist. You know, I knew the official story didn't make sense. So I'd go to the second stage, murder cover-up. Well, the third stage is actually the guy didn't die. It was a fake death. Nobody died. Nobody got hurt. Most people are still at the first stage. Tragic death surrounded by mystery. We have to be at the third stage. Fake death.
The most prominent figures in the wide 9/11 truth movement, so-called controlled or mainstream opposition, in fact, the second level of conspiracy theorizing, included the engineers for 9/11, Michael Moore, Alex Jones, Dylan Avery, involved actors Ashton Kutcher, Charlie Sheen, and others, but none of them ever uttered a word about the fake imagery shown on TV. And the flood of such false conspiracy theories made it so much harder to find the truth.
We have had 12 years on all sorts of 9/11 truth forums of incessant bickering about the exact type of explosives used to bring down those tall steel frame towers. Endless circular debates about this ultimately irrelevant issue has monopolized the attention, the time, the efforts, and the intellectual resources of scores of well-meaning truth seekers. And we all know that the largest and best funded truther organization, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, was probably set up to bamboozle everyone with a million scientific theories. Yet this most logical of all schemes seems to be, oddly enough, a tough thing for people to wrap their minds around.
The 9/11 we've seen was a totally news media-backed simulation. The goal was to demolish WTC complex, but they've added a twist, blamed it on terrorists.
They got 9/11 and they said, it's our chance, go for it.
To those still wondering exactly how the towers were brought down, I will simply ask, have you ever heard of dynamite? You know, that explosive invented by my fellow countryman, Alfred Nobel? Do you know that all building demolitions in the world have used dynamite for many decades now, and that it is the most universally tested and reliable method employed to demolish buildings with? Here's what the Loiseau Controlled Demolition Company achieved back in 1977. The Biltmore Hotel demolition. The 245-foot-high structure became the tallest steel-frame building to be demolished with explosives. The Biltmore was 33, our favorite number, stories high, and was heralded as the state's tallest building. On October 16, 1977, the Hotel Biltmore was demolished by a team of demolition specialists. Hundreds of low-yield explosives were planted throughout the building so that it would collapse and fall inward into an acceptable area only slightly larger than the hotel's foundation. Sound familiar? The purpose was both to break the materials into smaller pieces that would be easily transported away, sound familiar, and to contain the blast and debris within the area in order to minimize damage to surrounding structures. Sound familiar? The raising was recorded by hundreds of camera buffs. The Biltmore was certainly the largest building to fall during the urban renewal era. The explosion that took down the 26-story, 600-room hotel in 1977 was televised across the country. The building is enormous. It is concrete. It is full of steel. Yet the building is decaying. It is abandoned and crumbling. Well, so is the World Trade Center. But it wasn't crumbling. Police have had to remove squatters several times. It is a danger to the city and must be removed. There is a sound of sirens, then a deep, almost subliminal explosion. And slowly, almost gracefully, the building seems to melt into itself. The glass suites were unharmed. The traffic hurries on. The million people barely notice. And my argument is, on 9/11/2001, if there even was a million people that were looking up, they probably would have rushed home to get a better look on their television sets. And oh, what a picture awaited them on their TVs. So this 33-story hotel was neatly demolished in 1977 with conventional dynamite explosives. Does anyone still contend that the 110-story World Trade Center towers were impossible to demolish with the very same yet much perfected methods in 2001, 24 years later after the Biltmore?
So if 9/11 events were mere demolition, then all the imagery shown on TV had to be prefabricated.
His whole case is an illusion, a magic trick. It has to be an illusion.
We have demonstrated on this forum that all the 9/11 imagery were fake, and that includes the tower collapse imagery. Since the primary objective of the 9/11 PSYOP was to bring down the entire World Trade Center complex and blame it on a bunch of Muslim suicide terrorists hijacking airplanes, the planners of this media-supported hoax would not have run the foolish risk to show the actual collapses on live TV for the whole world to see. What we saw on TV was not the actual collapses of the towers.
The planners made sure no one is taking private pictures of the actual event.
It stands to reason that the 9/11 PSYOP planners, perps, would have used the oldest, simplest, and most foolproof trick to hide the proceedings: to engulf the World Trade Center complex area in military-grade smoke obscurance before the start of the demolition.
In addition to the smoke screen, to paralyze all electronic equipment, they apparently used electromagnetic weaponry, which is used by the military and designed to jam the enemy's electronics. Such electromagnetic storm would keep any private cameras from operating. Only special cameras shielded with protective Faraday cages would function.
Security analyst James Carafano has written about EMP attacks.
In one single event, what could be disabled?
Everything would be disabled.
With a large-scale EMP attack, computers would fail, telecommunications cut off.
As a result, thousands of electronic devices malfunctioned or blacked out altogether. As many as 4 important electronic-related disruptions were reported in the 9/11 aftermath. All New York cell phones, the firefighters' NYFD radio transmitters, the WTC's internal communication system, the Port Authority's transmission repeater on top of WTC. So they ensured that no one is taking private pictures or videos, and all that the world sees is their well-played, rehearsed, prefabricated story. They've also evacuated Lower Manhattan early on September 11, 2001. Around 50 drills were used as the excuse.
This is an article out of USA Today, and this report came out on April 19, 2004. NORAD had drills eerily like September 11th. They don't talk about the drill they had on the morning of September 11th, which was actually the smoke screen. Officials, people at NORAD, there was a drill on 9/11 at 8:30 in the morning.
9/11. The North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD for short. USA Today reports that NORAD conducted exercises.
There are at least two other drills, one on the morning of 9/11.
The two-hour drill recalls 9/11 events. In the drill, two bombs went off at 8 in the morning on a train in a tunnel between Manhattan and New Jersey. Joseph Bruno, New York City Commissioner of Emergency Management, says smoke filled the tunnel. Path service was suspended during the exercise, and streets around the Trade Center site were blocked off. So you've seen that no planes crashed on 9/11. No hijacking took place, and there were no hijackers. No planes means no passengers were flying inside them. No people flew to their death out of the empty WTC towers, since empty buildings don't contain people. Yet all fell for the computer imagery aired on TV. In case you're interested, here's how the flight imagery is done with the software.
How CNN composited the ghost plane footage. The software analyzes each frame of video, and the result is this. We'll add a plane. This is a stock 767 in Google SketchUp. And we insert it into the shot. Next, we need to disappear the plane into a layer mask. Next, we need to add some information that sort of represents a hole in the side of the tower. And the result is that the plane just disappears into that area. After we add back in the horrified voices, the result is footage that's every bit as convincing as the original ghost plane footage. We don't see any parts of the airplane breaking or bending or twisting. We don't see any parts of the building actually breaking off. We see a hole in the building that sort of fades in. We see puffballs that just sort of magically appear. And so there are two lessons here. One is the technical lesson, learning just how this type of compositing is done. And secondly, the psychological lesson, which is that if the great masses of people are sufficiently traumatized, they'll believe anything.
They've simulated the death of about 3,000 Americans allegedly trapped in the WTC. Then the skyjumpers were used to increase the effect, influencing the feelings. What were the chances for people to be in the buildings, jumping down, and being caught on tape by the amateur photographer at the right time, in that clarity? Now remember that first BBC announcement? Out of all information they could possibly give in that moment, reassuring that was the most populated office buildings?
The World Trade Center, one of the most heavily populated office buildings in New York.
Why would they reinforce seemingly obvious assumption? Why would they waste TV time uttering irrelevant words in such important breaking news couple of minutes? Only if that required reassurances. Which means the buildings weren't really populated. In fact, there's data showing that in reality, towers may never been fully occupied. Towers may never been internally completed. The towers may have been made to be destroyed. And the following shows that buildings were empty by 9/11. 1993 bombing was a fake event to clear the tenants and introduce Obama bin Laden. The towers were empty soon after it, and the next 8 years were used to slowly remove all the internal structure. Then there's a curious event took place prior to 9/11.
6 months before 9/11, this E-team rent a helicopter, and they just hovered it outside the World Trade Center. Take pictures of people standing in the window.
Here you see this guy communicating over a radio phone with the guys in the helicopter for them to take picture at the right time.
Everybody who wants to get his picture taken from the quick click, there will be two of the E-team in the helicopter. I'm going to take a picture of each of you who wants to have his picture taken on the 91st floor in this window right here.
I look a lot like jumpers.
Person. He's so perfect.
right now. Excellent position, if everyone can stand like her.
Okay? Next? Okay. Next!
You locked and loaded? I'm
ready. You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, yep, she's ready.
Yeah. Gal, step up into the window. That way we can model the jumpers correctly into the CGI imaging. We had to make it look good on television. See, we just pretend we're taking nice pictures of people while the other people in the helicopter are doing something very, very sinister. Don't you think?
Sorry. Okay, next.
Yeah, thank you for participating in the Quick Click by the E-Team.
So much for the most heavily populated office buildings.
And there's no ceiling, you just have access to the pipes above there.
Does this look like an office building at all? The people with children taking pictures, holding their upper clothes in their hands, are just tourists. There are no office employees in there. The buildings are empty. There's no furniture, not even ceiling left. Everything that was useful was cleared away well in advance prior to September 2001.
But look at this picture. Again, from the other angle, just somebody else ready to take the window out. Another person wearing grappling equipment. 6 months prior to 9/11, a bunch of foreigners running around the top of the World Trade Center at all hours of the day and night. Just snap pictures of people standing in the window. And, you know, if there wasn't a string of 1,000 impossible coincidences surrounding 9/11, this by itself should raise concern.
If tower collapse imagery were faked, would you expect pictures of jumpers to be real? Even if there were any jumpers, with measures preventing people from taking private pictures, like the smoke screen and electronic paralyzed with an electromagnetic storm, what were the chances for someone capturing a clear image of an unexpected skydiving 550-mile-per-hour object? Extremely slim.
So, Mr. Crane, you could positively identify the defendants for a moment of 2 seconds looking through this dirty window, this crud-covered screen, these trees with all these leaves on them, and I don't know how many bushes.
Curiously also, a photographer named Richard Drew, who allegedly took a picture of a man falling through the sky, wasn't found. And the falling man himself became an unknown soldier. There is an animated GIF picture extracted from the movie Skyscraper, 1996. It's totally beyond the debate that the technology to manufacture this fairly realistic-looking imagery existed long before 2001. For a similar effect, take a look at the computer simulation. Looks pretty real, isn't it? As we've seen with the airplane simulation, the manipulators reliably rested on the fully compliant top brass of the mainstream media and used these assets to its full potential. Would there be any reason for killing people? And why would they even lose their slaves, the taxpayers? There was simply no rationale for the 9/11 plotters to commit a mass murder of 3,000 people, mostly white-collar professionals, brokers, bankers, financial analysts, whose families would likely have access to first-rate uptown legal assistance. 3,000 killed would have cost 6,000 or 10,000 relatives, plus extended family and friends wanting to dig into that. That'd compose an army which wouldn't stop until they'd rip the guilty ones apart. And what do we see? A quartet of crisis actors switching from laughing to sour faces on camera. And also, to kill thousands of people would have encountered a severe resistance among the insiders involved. Therefore, it's much more logical to assume the following. Quite simply, there were no injured. Because the WTC complex was an empty, fully evacuated area, therefore no one got hurt. It's just common safety measures to not let anyone into a demolition area. But the PSYOP had to contain the drama. Although without enacting the arrival of so-called wounded to the real hospitals, which would require the actual medical staff to lie about it. They even reported themselves.
Hospitals, which have been standing by on high alert to treat scores of wounded, are not getting the numbers they anticipated.
Some nurse, Diana de la Rosa, in her testimony said, "People have seen pictures of our team waiting, but no one came."
Well, I worked at St. Vincent's Hospital, so we were on the trauma center, the closest to that. And we all had to leave there and come up to the hospital and wait for all the people. And people have seen the pictures. We all had teams outside the emergency room waiting, and no one came for 9/11. It's just that I remember waiting there. So that's my memory.
The ABC interviewed some Marlene Cruz from Bellevue of all New York hospitals. And it's been said that Bellevue is traditionally the New York hospital for mental patients, like every Woody Allen fan knows. Notice how they placed the Bellevue sign behind the Marlene, in case we wanted to doubt she was really there.
Now, we're joined by one of the survivors of the World Trade Center. Marlene, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
You're in a hospital bed at Bellevue, are you?
Yes, that's true.
As you lie there, and we're very glad that you've survived, obviously, how hurt are you at this point?
My body feels like a truck fell on me. My leg is sprained. They thought it was broken.
If somebody told you to hold your head up so you can talk to me, are you uncomfortable?
No, I'm okay. I'm feeling a lot better.
Yeah, okay, because if you want to put your head back, please do.
No, it's okay.
Okay. It's a nice Bellevue sign they put up behind you. That poster they put up behind you saying Bellevue Hospital, where you are?
Right.
Somebody come along and put that up?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, there's a Bellevue Hospital sign. Okay, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
It's Marlene Cruz, who survived the 1993 explosion, survived this, working in the basement. And it just happens. Bellevue is one of the great hospitals in the United States in so many respects. And when you go somewhere to do an interview, somebody always thinks they'd like to have something saying exactly who it is behind the people who are being interviewed. Absolutely appropriate. Let me just move on to a couple of small pieces of news.
The anchor pinches his nose, uses a gesture for covering lies.
My leg is sprained.
And the cold boy female is just one more joke. Beside these hospital beds, in fact, a few scenes filmed right in the media studio showing actors in hospital pajamas. Other efforts to influence the existence of victims included pictures of countless empty gurney lining the streets awaiting incoming patients that never arrived. Then there was the use of chemical face peeling, a time-tested technique to imitate injuries. Then there was a released 911 emergency room, which looks like a pretty audacious propaganda effort meant to push the idea of lots of 9/11 injured. Then there was another never-before-released 9/11 footage that looked like a dramatic reenactment and training exercises, a few dubious shots of wounded, and a handful of hospital staff and survivors acting out of drama for the masses. Then they made thoroughly fanciful, grotesquely contrived and conflicting 9/11 victim memorials. Most of them are still easily accessible on the internet for the general public, yet some of them been mysteriously shut down.
Seven stories underground. A group of men and women are building the National 9/11 Memorial Museum.
Close scrutiny of those numerous available listings of alleged 9/11 victims provide countless indications that they are, by and large, outright fabrications. There is no consensus on the total death toll. The 20,000 victims soon become 10,000. Yet the first official casualty toll was still hefty 6,729, New York Times. Then, a full 12 days after the event, Mayor Giuliani went on record with an estimated 6,333 victims. The first official NYT death toll figure, 6,729, and the figure found on, for instance, the America Forever Memorial, 2,467, give the discrepancy a margin of error of 4,262 units. Then there are ghost names of victims, listed on some memorials, completed with tributes and obituaries, and yet are simply missing on the others. A single picture is used, circulating various scenery with the same expression, angle, and lighting at different moments of life. Honor Elizabeth Vinell. Liz never existed. She's listed as a casualty of the farcical Flight 93, the very existence of which has by now been demolished in every imaginable way. Liz is also one of the credited with placing a cell phone call with her stepmother minutes before her heroic death. Only a bare handful of pictures can be found. Elizabeth's family seems to possess a very limited amount of portraits of the young lady, all in remarkably similar poses, moods, and expressions. These portraits are crude Photoshop frauds. It transpires that Honor Elizabeth Viner is nothing else than a computer-generated entity. Yet donations in her memory are being collected even as recently as in 2017. Then there was a look shared by more than one person. For example, Richard L. Allen lists in another place as Richard D. Allen. Then there is a name shared by pictures of different persons. For example, on the Voices of September Memorial, Richard L. Allen is a black gentleman. Then there are ridiculously bad quality memorial photos. And to this day, the vast majority of alleged victims have not been even entered in the SSDI, Social Security Death Index. Now, have a look how the images of fake victims can be easily simulated.
The morphable model combines 3D shape and texture information of all example faces. We can form arbitrary linear combinations of the examples and generate continuous transitions. Forming the average for male and female faces separately to change the perceived gender. We now reconstruct 3D shape and texture in order to animate a face, given only a single photograph of a person. A fully automated algorithm finds the best reconstruction of the face within the morphable model. Here we simulate weight gain and weight loss. Facial expression can be post-processed in images, forcing a face to frown or to smile. From this image, we also estimated 3D shape and texture and combined the photograph with 3D computer graphics. Cast shadows of novel objects are rendered correctly into the scene. Illumination conditions can be changed and pose can be varied to some extent. Finally, we show the application of our model to a painting.
Oftentimes, there aren't available hard facts to discern lies from truth. In these cases, we must all learn to trust ourselves, our reason and intuition, powerful tools given to us by God. We can all tell the insincerity an actor's play from the speeches and emotions. In these people, pretending to be relatives of victims of 9/11, watch for the following. Is there any puffiness under their eyes as they play to weep? How cold these people should be to be able to overcome the loss of the close ones, to give public speeches next day after the tragedy.
Bobby Parker, whose daughter, a six-year-old Emily Parker, you see her there, was shot and killed yesterday.
Not only for one speech, but for the repetitive series of the same speeches played identically, the same transition from smile to weeping mode, the same emotions, the same tricks over and over again, like they were xerocopied by machines, not even improvised by a real person. Also, watch for the bursts of laughter to discharge the stifled emotions, the result of inner cognitive dissonance between the truth they know and the falsehood they play out.
We have 6,000 people missing.
You're out at Shea Stadium. That shows courage on your part.
We have 6,000 people missing.
That shows courage on your part.
It appears that drama-trained actors and actresses have been cast in the role of family members of alleged victims. They all travel around, sobbing and weeping, upholding the all-important myth of the 9/11 victims. The number of characters rotating around 9/11 saga has been exposed as professional actors. Gary Wells, Bob McElvain, Donna Marsh Connor, etc. And there are specialized companies like CrisisActors.com, which supply role-play actors to make hoaxes of real event. This is one of the company's advertisements.
They were utilizing visual senses, auditory senses.
Doing some training with people, and we're all bleeding and screaming and reacting in various ways.
And on 9/11 stage, just like Robbie Parker in Sandy Hook's school shooting theater, Bob McElvain was acting, reproducing the same emotions over and over, with choking, bringing himself down to the weeping mood.
My name's Bob McElvain. I'm from Orland, Pennsylvania. I lost my son. When I did this to the press, I wasn't able to get through it, but maybe the second time around. Okay, this is very difficult.
Questa è una cosa molto difficile per me.
Especially with the discussion, the way it has gone.
Soprattutto per come è andata la dinamica della discussione finora.
I want everybody to think this is difficult.
Another relative of a victim just sounds like a cheesy amateur actress audition.
I think a lot about that. I think in everything I do, I have two goals. First, to bring glory to God, and second, to bring honor to Tom's memory. And I think that I've done that, and I think that Tom would be very proud.
Father Michael Judge may not have actually existed, but seems like a top choice for a fleshy being on a victim's list. The Jersey Girls, Kristen Braidwaiser, Patty Cassaza, Lori Van Auken, and Mindy Kleinberg have long been playing traumatized family members. Preposterously, according to Wikipedia, Kristen Braidwaiser, one of the Jersey Girls, even won the prize for truth-telling in 2005. We must have been truly lived in 1984, where the Ministry of Truth is preoccupied by the falsification of events. And there's one more intriguing part of 9/11's story. It's the flyers in New York. They covered walls, lampposts, subway stops, phone booths all over the city. It was nearly impossible to go about life without encountering them. And some Dr. Niveau apparently collected 5,200 of those missing flyers. He neatly restored them, framed them, and took them on tour, an 18-month traveling around the world with exhibition Missing, Lost, Seen at the World Trade Center. With such neighborhood pamphlets, usually reserved for pets gone astray, the whole idea of missing person flyers is preposterous. What would have caused hundreds of families to reach for downtown Manhattan on the evening of the tragedy to plaster the city with missing flyers? Is that what people usually do in the aftermath of calamities? Aren't people preferred to rely to authorities, not on flyers? Clearly, these thousands of idiotic flyers were not created in a few hours, but had been prepared in advance, meaning those who prepared the flyers knew in advance who would have died. Curiously enough, this Dr. Nivor was a curator of Camera Planet website, owned by Steve Rosenbaum, with an extensive Curious 9/11 collection. That is Steve Rosenbaum, who plausibly created the 9/11 amateur videos, and the man who plausibly directed the missing flyer mass hypnosis are no strangers to each other. Mr. Rosenbaum's company employed over 80 people and occupied 5 floors on Fifth Avenue building in Manhattan. The proud slogan of his company was BNN TV changes the way stories are told. His clients include CNN, CBS News, MSNBC, HBO, and Court TV. Steve Rosenbaum's biography tells, "Reason in a family of storytellers. His mother was a writer, his uncle a White House correspondent. Steve Rosenbaum was a filmmaker and a magician before his career as an intern in an edit room at CBS News over 20 years ago. In this rare-filled news environment, Rosenbaum discovered an unexpected gap between visual storytellers and the tools needed to produce a broadcast news story. His morals can be summarized by his own saying.
New York, Paris, Israel, Iraq.
Stop trying to come up with black and white definitions of fake versus not fake, and instead become more savvy consumers.
With his crooked sense of humor, he came up with the idea of missing person instead of traditional missing pet flyers, as at the beginning, he thought of a dog show.
So the morning of 9/11, we were beginning to shoot a show for Animal Planet called Dog Days, and it was a lighthearted reality show.
What a lighthearted comedy there came up. It looks like 9/11 was surrounded with a running contest for the best joke about 9/11. There's Mayor of New York Rudy Giuliani performance.
Can you just tell me how your September 11th began?
It began with a breakfast. I guess I must have gotten there at about, about 9:10, 9:12, something like that. About 9:10, 9:12. We have 6,000 people missing, somewhat over 6,000 people missing.
You're out at Shea Stadium. That shows courage on your part.
In addition to the jokes you've just seen, a mayor starting his day with a breakfast and arriving at site at 9/11 exactly, with Marlene Cruz sticking out in an awkward posture regardless of the broken bones, with the sign of hospital in the media room behind, with the anger choking on laughter interviewing, topped with actually a boy playing a girl, and then with a lost person flyers being a light-hearted comedy, as Rosenbaum says. On top of all this, they even ridiculed people whom they've scared. Look at these ads handling fear solutions. For a bunker.
Every family in America should prepare itself for a terrorist attack.
For a safe house.
The harsh reality facing American families today is that they're not as safe as they used to be. The growing threat of terrorists means the need for protection is ever greater. And now, that protection is here. The kind of protection formerly obtainable only by the wealthy or powerful.
Heck, you can be sitting in here drinking your finest Bordeaux and enjoying life while chaos is erupting outside.
And for a parachute.
Now to escaping from a skyscraper. John Rivers is the CEO of the Executive Chute Corporation.
It's an option of last resort. You only have to be on the 10th floor or above. It's real easy to put on.
Is this something that you honestly think in a moment of panic that someone can operate properly?
How funny and surreal this 9/11 tragedy must be if they're all laughing.
They'd like to have something saying exactly who it is.
And yet we arrived at the truth. Beware of lies around. Religious, political, international, lies of science, of tradition, lies of all sorts, warned Lev Tolstoy. The terror of 9/11 was fabricated to generate profits for the perpetrators for years to come, primarily through achieving mass obedience. by fueling strong emotional reaction for the support of the government, the People's Protector. Also, through the collection of donations, and to close the vicious circle through an excuse for keeping special 9/11 funds to pay their trolls to further the propaganda of mass obedience. That's what terror of 9/11 has been used for already 17 years. And here's what the Canadian Global News carried on in September 2018.
America will never, ever submit to tyranny.
And President Trump and the First Lady took part in a separate 9/11 remembrance ceremony in Pennsylvania. The field where the third hijacked plane came crashing down has become a permanent memorial site. Meanwhile, the Vice President attended a sunrise ceremony at the Pentagon, which was also targeted in the 2001 attacks.
Let there be no mistake. It is governments and mainstream media that have peddled fake news for decades.
You might be surprised to hear that the government has to put so much efforts for just elevating of its own importance in the eyes of the citizens. The idea of even questioning the validity of the existence of a government may be novel for you, because of the lifelong indoctrination in the belief of the impossibility of living without a government. And yet, the governments themselves know perfectly well how unnatural the structure is and useless, and so they don't think twice as to never stop indoctrinating you into their importance. If you only pay attention, numerous after-event commentaries confirm their agenda. The whole purpose of Mayor Giuliani media appearances right after 9/11 were to immediately promote and praise the government with its agencies, the fire department, the police, like he said.
You're out at Shea Stadium. That shows courage on your part. What was that evening like?
When I got to Shea Stadium on Friday night, I wanted to go to thank the Mets because I thought they did one of the most beautiful things, and that is to put on the caps of the
right.
New York Fire Department, the Port Authority, the Police Department.
Very nice.
Put it on their heads and blame them. Then I came out on the field, and I got just a tremendous amount of applause.
Giuliani had just capped the whole purpose of their efforts up to the moment. First, they've made people afraid, and now they stretch their hands to help. Just like Michael Moore in Fahrenheit 9/11 said.
The people were afraid, and they turned to their leader to protect them.
Creating enemies and fears is number one help to get the support the government needs.
Fear works.
Fear does work, yes. You can make people do anything if they're afraid.
And how do you make them afraid?
Well, you make them afraid by creating an aura of endless threat. They simply got people to believe that there was a real threat out there when in fact there wasn't one.
They also create a cognitive dissonance, exhaust people, to make them give up on their own thinking and seek safety in numbers, resort to what an authority would prescribe.
They played us like an organ. They raised the orange, and then up to red, and then they dropped it back to orange. I mean, they gave these mixed message, which were crazy-making. It's like training a dog. You tell them, sit down, and you tell them to roll over at the same time. Dog doesn't know what to do. Well, the people were being treated like that. It was really very, very skillfully and ugly in what they did. They will continue, in my view, of every once in a while, stimulating everybody to be afraid, just in case you forgot. It's not going to go down to green or blue. It's never going to get there.
Cognitive dissonance is central in many forms of persuasion to change beliefs, values, attitudes, and behaviors. The manipulators create tension between two opposing thoughts. That's what the false conspiracies do, which they flooded the infospace with. All these hired actors for a fabricated 9/11 truth movement, including the architects for 9/11, Michael Moore, Alex Jones, and others, work semi-officially to draw the worst story of the government murdering its own people. This story sounds even more illogical and hopeless than the official version.
There clearly is no way that anyone can live constantly on edge like that.
So that people rather rescue to the official storyline and back their government even stronger.
From Tappahannock to Rappahannock to every town and village in America, the people were afraid. And they turned to their leader to protect them. But protect them from what? This is where the Pacific Ocean meets the shores of Oregon. over 100 miles of beautiful open coastline on our border. And the total number of state police protecting it? One. Part-time.
I think, you know, Oregon is a prime example that Homeland Security is not as secure as what I think people would like to believe.
Nobody sent me any manual that says, here's how you catch a terrorist, you know, and if I had that manual, I'd read it, but I don't, so, yeah.
Of course, the Bush administration didn't hand out a manual on how to deal with the terrorist threat because the terrorist threat wasn't what this was all about. They just wanted us to be fearful enough so that we'd get behind.
They just want us to get behind the government and hold on to it tightly.
The war is waged by the ruling group against its own subjects, and its object is not the victory over either Eurasia or East Asia, but to keep the very structure of society intact.
That's the reason behind anything the government does, to keep the structure of society intact, where there are rich and poor, enlightened and stupefied, drones and worker bees desperately feeding those drones. Note that Michael Moore himself was rubbing shoulders in the White House for a long time already.
I loved what he did.
I got invited to a White House dinner. Do we have the picture of me at the White House? There I am.
And Michael Moore has been long working of the opposite, seemingly blaming, yet in fact recruiting more support to the object of his criticism. And that's exactly because Michael Moore is an insider and knows the perfect reason behind the 9/11 story. This certainly means a lot to those who has ears to hear. Michael Moore injects a woman in red in his movie to say the truth between the lines. If this information is not enough for you to understand that 9/11 attacks was a hoax, then you're not better than those insane who would keep believing in the prophecies even they never fulfill, or who stubbornly stand by disgraced politicians or lying scientists, even when the reality highlights the clearest of inconsistencies. Even the act of voting might cause someone to defend the actions of the candidate for whom they voted, all due to the ego engaged in the way of truth. If you are one of those faithful, or to whom, as they say,
you get told things every day that don't happen. It doesn't seem to bother people. Things that don't happen. Things that don't happen. It doesn't seem to bother people.
If you're one of those, then you're as good as dead. A snuffed-out candle. And sorry, deserve to be kept in fear. Then buy for yourself one of those shoots and drag it behind you anywhere you go. That way we'll recognize you from afar and won't bother you approaching with the truth. For those who has eyes to see, so many facts show the government isn't even real. It's the biggest hoax. It's a theater. It's a screen, a tabloid used only for collecting money from you. Just open your eyes to see. Those humongous office building spaces the government built to impress public with its presence are empty. They are only used for collecting and counting of your money. You can't even get an appointment with them. We called the government official to meet. He's ill already second year. His secretary picks up that rarely ringing phone and doesn't even bother to return calls or follow up on promises. And because they are fake, they don't even read the acts they approve.
No one read it. That's the whole point. They wait till the middle of the night. They drop it in the middle of the night. It's printed in the middle of the night. And the next morning when we come in, it passes.
How could Congress pass this Patriot Act without even reading it?
Sit down, my son. We don't read most of the bills. Do you really know what that would entail if we were to read every bill that we pass? Well, the good thing, it would slow down the legislative process.
Slow down? No. State produces as many laws as there are relationships between people to determine. In 3 years, France produces 11,600 laws, writes Proudhon. Do you really think government can preserve any sanity in this awful mess? But who cares about their pieces of junk produced anyway? The products of the government, including the Patriot Act, are just scare tactics. This American government, what is it but a tradition? It's a sort of wooden gun to the people themselves, wrote Thoreau. and the politicians, including presidents, are just actors in the world theater.
We must stop the terror.
Thank you.
Now watch this drive.
Michael Moore shows how they are all faking emotions, preparing for the stage, as mere actors.
George W. Bush was on vacation 42% of the time. Being president is a lot of work.
They don't understand the definition of work. I'm getting a lot done. Secondly, you don't have to be in Washington to work.
And so, being just a screen with no essence, the government, to justify its existence, uses some basic services like mail, road maintenance, garbage disposal, security, firefighting, just as a cover-up. But it's not the government, but business contractors do the work. The government is just using them to position itself as essential to people. You would ask, what life would be like without the government? Tolstoy answers, clearly there wouldn't be no evil that government creates. There wouldn't be no taxes spent on needless things, no division of nations, no enslavement of some by others, no waste on war preps, no fear of wars. Emerson wrote, the appearance of character makes the state unnecessary. The wise man is the state. He needs no army, fort, or navy, for he loves men too well. He needs no bribe, feast, or palace to draw friends to him. He needs no vantage ground, no favorable circumstance. He needs no library, for he hasn't done thinking, no church, for he is a prophet, no statute book, for he is the lawgiver, no money, for he is value, no road, for he is at home where he is, no experience, for the life of the Creator shoots through him and looks from his eyes. Although there will be always a government of force where people are selfish, and when they are pure enough to abjure the code of force, they will be wise enough to see how all these public ends can be answered. Let human societies become spiritually pure and healthy, and parasites that feed on them, governments and churches, will drop off. But you don't want to wait for all people to become spiritually mature. Each human is responsible for his own choice of action. How you choose to resolve this dissonance and its accompanying discomfort is a good reflection of your mental health and morality. We've chosen to follow our conscience, and before anything else, we stop doing what supports the evil. That's how we arrived at the decision to stop paying the government taxes. Lev Tolstoy wrote, as soon as a person realizes what the government really is, a deception created by evil people under the disguise of managing, using for their own aims, he cannot feel anything but disgust toward these people. And at the end of the day, everything is rooted in our understanding of the purpose of human life. When human law has replaced the divine law, people have lost religious consciousness and fallen under the governmental hypnotism. The life purpose cannot be in the bodies, but only in the spirits. To fulfill the life purpose is to grow morality and do what supports the morality, as faith without deeds is dead. It means you have to stand for what is right. You must finally understand that you have a divine essence, which is above all passions, cowardice, and hustle that make you cringe like a puppet, wrote Marcus Aurelius. So stop being afraid for your body. Be only afraid to lose your soul in all these carnal fears. Deprived of the guidance given by God's law, people sink to the lowest grade of human existence, where the only motives for their actions are their personal desires and their indoctrination, wrote Lev Tolstoy. Realize where the true freedom lays. To get where you are meant to be, work on yourself. Study Tolstoy. There's a lot to study. But it is the only study that is needed for your life. And once you understand this universal truth, the governments with their lies won't matter to you anymore.